If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Romans chapter 8. And I'd like to do a message on one of the songs that we already sang here this morning, Standing in God's Love. And you can get it on your phone, have your Bible on your phone, or if you want to watch it on the screen here as well, we'll show it on the screen. We're using the New Living Translation, but I'm sure you can follow along whatever translation you might have. And if you haven't got the Bible on your phone yet, YouVersion is a great Bible app, and it contains all the versions of the Bible. And so it's kind of an interesting little app that you can use. Great app, has all the scriptures there for you. So if you haven't downloaded one, that's a great one. Romans 8, 31 to 39. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us when God has chosen, but whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given his right standing with himself, and who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us, and was raised to life for us, and he's sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from the God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that, Lord, you bring encouragement and strength to us as we read your word. And God, I just pray that your word would find a resting place in all of our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this week as I was praying about what to share, and God, what do you want to say to your people today? And what I really felt God was saying today, that he just wanted me to tell you and to remind you that he loves you, that he cares about you. And I just really felt that real strongly this week, that God was just wanting to remind us here today that we are deeply loved by him. And that no matter what you're going through, whatever trial or circumstance that you're going through right now, where maybe that has caused you to doubt whether or not God really does love you, God just wants me to be that spokesman to speak to you to say, he still loves you. He's still there. He hasn't forsaken you. You're still important to him. You're still valuable to him. You're still the apple of his eye. He loves you very much. And that's something we should never, never doubt, as God is love. In other words, he is everything that love is, and that he continually reaches out to us to demonstrate his love towards us. And even today, he's reaching out to us just afresh and anew, just to say, I love you. I want you to know something, that you're loved by God today. Now, it's interesting when you talk about love, that the most common scripture that is posted almost everywhere, is where you see it all the time, is the passage of scripture called John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. A couple of weeks ago then, we were at the district conference and we had the pleasure of listening to Shayla Visser, and she's the Canadian director of Alpha and also the international vice president of Alpha. And she referred to this story, and she was talking about as she was returning back from one of her trips, and she was very tired, and it was a very busy weekend, and she was saying, oh, I'm just looking so forward to get on that plane and just relax and do nothing. And as they were starting to board this plane, this gentleman started bringing up a conversation with her. He was an Indian man from India, and began talking with her and sharing with her, and kept on talking. She's kind of thinking, oh my, she said, I'm just kind of looking forward to a quiet time. But as she got on the plane, she realized all the seats are full. And there's only two seats that are empty. And she realized that this man and myself, we're going to be sitting together for the rest of this flight. And she was still hoping that, you know, maybe I could just have this quiet time. But this man just continued to talk to her and share with her. And then he began to share about some crisis that he was going through. And a pretty serious crisis that he was going through with his family. And how difficult it was and a number of things. And anyway, as he shared this story with her, you know, she said, well, okay, this is going to be a God moment. And she was listening and finally got around to that. He asked her, well, how was your week? And she said, well, it was kind of a busy week. And she explained to him that she was a minister and that she goes around. And he said, oh. Then he said, well, maybe you could help me. See, throughout this whole crisis, there was something that I kept seeing on my documents and everywhere as I went. I kept seeing these numbers. Maybe you could help me and tell me what they mean. I've been asking my family, and they don't know what those numbers would mean. I've been asking some spiritual leaders, and they don't know what those numbers mean. Maybe you know what they mean. She says, well, what are those numbers? And he said, I keep seeing 316. Could you tell me what that means? And she said, well, matter of fact, I can. And she opened up her Bible there for him, and she showed it to him and says, look, this is John 3:16. This is what I believe God is trying to get across to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And anyway, as this man read that scripture, he was just overwhelmed. And the short version of a long story is that he ended up giving his life to Jesus Christ that day. And he left that plane totally changed. Because of three numbers, 316. See, that's what God does in his love. God will go to great extents to reach out to us, to reveal himself to us, that he really does love us. So often we go through life in our busyness, we're not paying attention to the signs that are around us, and there's always signs that God gives. But sometimes our minds are so occupied, it's like a blur, we don't even see them. But we serve a God who wants us to know that he loves us. Now, I missed going to Full Gospel this past Friday, but the lady sharing her testimony, from what I heard, that basically a sign from heaven. She was just praying, God, if you're real, or are you real out there? And what happened? Jesus revealed himself to her. And that's what God does. That's what God is wanting to do. He was wanting to encounter people to bring them to faith in Jesus Christ. And that's happening all over the world. We don't realize because we're not, you know, in other parts of the world, we don't travel, we're not big world travelers. Probably the majority of us aren't. But as you go to different parts of the world, you'll find so many stories of people encountering God because God in his love reaches out to them through various signs, through various wonders, through dreams, through visions. And that's happening all over the place. And so that's something we just need to realize, that God loves us. He loves us. He loves the church. He cares about us. I think of one of the visions, one of the little ones of the Fords they told me about. And they said, they had this dream and they saw God pouring out buckets of love over Saddle Lake, over every home. And then from there into the town of St. Paul, God was stopping at every home and pouring out a bucket of love. And that's what he does. That's who he is. He wants all people to come to faith in him. He just doesn't want a few selected people. He desires all people to come to faith in Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I just want to remind you that no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're feeling right now, and I realize there's a lot of struggles that are happening in people's lives, And God is just wanting me to tell you he loves you. To just say that afresh to you. You know what? He loves you. And I realize we all go through difficulties, and sometimes in those difficulties we can begin to believe the lie that God doesn't care or that God doesn't love us. When the truth is, God loves us very much. And he wants to be a part of our lives every day. And he wants to help us. He wants to comfort us with his presence and with his love. And I really sense today that God just kind of given like a fresh invitation to all of us to just to realize that he loves us. No matter what you're going through, even if it's difficult, even if it's hard, especially if it's hard, God just wants to remind you, he loves you. He loves you. He's not absent from you. He's still there beside you. And he still loves you. And as we read this passage in the book of Romans, it reminds us very clearly that nothing will ever separate us from that love. We sometimes convince ourselves and believe the lies that God doesn't love us or God kind of stepped back and he doesn't care anymore. And this passage of scripture is reminding us, no, that's not true. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Even when you mess up, even when you're the one that's guilty of doing the wrong, God says he's still going to love you. He's still going to care for you. And so that's what I want to do today. I just want to take a look at this passage and just encourage you to stand in God's love. You can stand. You can make it. God will give you the strength and the power to make it through every trial, every situation, every circumstance, because he loves you and because he cares about you. So one of the first areas where we can stand in God's love is when people come against us. Romans 8, 33, 34 says, who dares accuse us when God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand pleading for us. See, sadly in life, there will be times when people will come against us. They'll come against us with accusations and lies and judgments and condemnation. And those can be very difficult to face, especially when they're false or when they're from your closest friends or from people that you respect. And it's something that can be very hurtful. And there's a lot of people that have been going through those kinds of things. And when we go through those kinds of things, very easy to get discouraged. Very easy. And we can get to that place if we're not careful, where you start to believe a lie, then that we start thinking that, well, maybe no one else loves me either. Maybe God doesn't love me. And then if you don't take care of those thoughts, you can soon get to that place where a person can become very suicidal, where they believe the lie that nobody cares. Nobody loves me. I'm all alone. There's been a lot of suicide in our community here. There's a lot of suicide. There's a lot of people that are going through things like this, where they struggle in their minds with thoughts that nobody cares. Nobody loves them. Even God himself, they say, I wonder if he even bothers to love me. And see, and times like that, when we go through those kinds of things, one of the things we need to remember, of course, hold it now, God loves you. God loves you. But we also need to remember, where do accusations and condemnations come from? And friends, they come from the pit of hell. We often like to focus on people from where they came from when we need to be focusing on where they really came from, and that's from the pit of hell. And we need to remind ourselves that the devil himself is referred to by God as the accuser of the brethren and of the sisters of faith. That's what he does. Revelations 12:10 talks about that, that's what the devil does. He accuses us. He brings lies into our minds and sometimes will cause people to say things to attack us. It's coming from the pit of hell. It's not coming from individuals. And so as we kind of realize that, where do they come from? That's a good thing. But the other thing is that we can stand in those times because God says, I am loved. God says, I am chosen. I am chosen. I'm not an accident. I'm not a mistake. I'm not a failure because I have been chosen and I've been loved by God Himself. That we would realize that we're all very special to God and loved by God. He loved us so much, He sent His Son to die for us. A Son that died for our sins on a cross on Calvary. And now the Bible says He presents us before the Father as a person of right standing. Isn't that beautiful? No matter what we've done, God has cleansed those sins if we repent of our sins. And He presents us before God, saved, forgiven, cleansed, a child of God. And so when we hear words that get spoken over our lives, when we are accused, when we're condemned, we need to remember something. Jesus loves me. Jesus says, I am special. Jesus says, I am the apple of His eye. And that He loves me very, very much. He also intercedes for me. He prays for me. He pleads for me on behalf of ourselves before the Father in heaven. So Jesus didn't save us to walk away from us. He is still with us. And He loves us very, very much. So much that He sent His Son. So much that He told us we are a people who are chosen by God. People that are so important that God said, I'm going to intercede for you. I am going to plead your case before the throne room of heaven. And I tell you, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He doesn't condemn you. He loves you. And He wants you to know today that He's working on your behalf. When we read the Bible, there's so many stories in the Bible that really help us to cope with life. The book of Psalms is a great section of the Bible to read. It really talks about life and talks about what we go through in life. And the psalmist David was going through some times where there were false accusations and condemnations against him. But he knew that he could find strength in God's love. And this is what he says in Psalm 109, verse 26. He says, help me, O Lord my God, and save me because of your unfailing love. Why would he cry out to God? Because he knew that God would respond. He knew that God loved him. And so even though these things were happening around him, he knew that God loved him, that he was special to God. God's going to listen to him. God's going to hear his case. And then in verse 31 at the end of that psalm, it says, for he stands beside the needy, ready to save them from those who condemn them. That's your God. That's who he is. And so when you have those unfortunate experiences where maybe there are accusations against you, maybe there's condemnations against you, you need to remember there's a God who cares, who intercedes in your behalf, who is able to save you, a God who loves you and considers you as his chosen, that we'd find strength in him. Please note it says in that verse, how dare anyone speak against my chosen? You are chosen by God. You are very special to God. I like a quote from T.J. Jakes, big pastor in the United States. And he talks about having a better perspective when people turn against you and walk away from you. And I think he has some pretty good advice here. He says, when people walk away from you, let them go. When people walk away from you, let them go. Your destiny is never tied to anyone who leaves you. Doesn't mean that they're bad people. It just means that their part in your story is over. But your story continues on. I think we need to remind ourselves that our futures are not dependent on what people are saying. Our future is dependent on how we walk with God and as we go in the destiny that he has called us to walk. So let's remember that. You're chosen. You're chosen. You're loved. He sees what you're going through. He sees how difficult it may have been. He sees your hurt and your pain that has been caused by what others have said of you. But he wants you to know today, he loves you, and you are chosen by him. Then secondly, when we stand in God's love, we need to realize that we can do so even when times of trouble come our way. Romans 8, 36, 37. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No, and despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus who loved us. Those are not nice experiences to go through, troubles in life. Sometimes there's accidents. There's been a number of accidents over this past week in our community where people's lives have been lost. It's not a good thing. Maybe sometimes disasters happen. They happen around the world. People die unexpectedly. Tragedies take place. There's persecution. There's financial pressures, financial collapses around our world. Dangers that we have to face, even our lives being threatened. That happens right here in our own community. Happening more and more where people are pulling knives on other people. People are being robbed. People are being robbed at gunpoint. That's happening right here. Those are troubles in our land. And troubles are not things that we welcome in our lives, but unfortunately, they can come. Often unannounced, unexpected, and the trauma from those kinds of events can really bother people and hinder people for years. Now, the psalmist David, again, a great Psalms to read when we want to talk about life, life experiences. And he learned on these kinds of occasions to look to the Lord. He tells us in Psalm 86, 78, I will call to you whenever I'm in trouble, and you will answer me, because no pagan God is like you, O Lord. None can do what you can do. There is no God like our God. There is no God that can do what he can do. We have a favor with him. We are his children. And God is attentive to the cries of our hearts. And he wants to pour out his love on us during those times of trouble. He wants to give us strength. He wants to help us to stand in the midst of all the trauma that is caused by the troubles that happen in our world. James 5, verses 13 to 15 in the New Testament, very close to the end of the Bible. And it says, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Hardships, troubles, pray. If you're happy, then you should be singing praises. Are you sick? Lots of sickness. Lots of sickness. Call for the elders of the church to come. Pray again. Pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Come to him. He's one that can change things. And by the way, if you needed prayer, again tonight we're going to have prayer here at the church from 6:30 to 7:30. If you want to join me, please feel free to do so. But when we face hardships of any kind, we do need help. We do need support. Even if it's because of our own making, even if we're the ones that are the cause of it. Because God wants to help us in ways that are far greater than what we think. He is there to help us. And he wants to come to us and bring us the answers that we need and strengthen us. And just let his presence be known in our lives to help us to stand under the weight of our troubles. And not only will we stand, we'll also experience a peace. And if there's things that we've done that have kind of caused our own trouble, then God says, there's also forgiveness. I'll forgive you and bring forgiveness into your life. He loves us, and he wants to bring us to a place of victory. Why would he ever do that? Because his love is never ending. It doesn't stop. He just keeps on loving us. No matter what happens in life, he loves us. He's constantly reaching out to us all the time. Call on him in your time of trouble, and he will help you to stand. Then 30 in this passage in Romans, it tells us that we can stand in God's love even when the demonic comes our way, even when spiritual forces that we do not see with the natural eye come against us. God said, you can stand in my love. Romans 8:38, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angel nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. The spiritual realm is something that is very, very real. But unfortunately, as Christians, a lot of times we dismiss it, or we don't think about it, or someone starts talking about a spiritual realm, we kind of get a little bit leery, and we don't want to listen. And we need to realize that a lot of the things we go through in life, behind all of that, is because there are things happening in places and in strongholds where the enemy resides that are coming against the people of God. You want to remember that John 10:10 says he's only come to rob, kill, destroy. That's his assignment for all of us in this room. The enemy has an assignment for each one of us, and that's to rob, kill, and destroy our lives. That's his goal. That's what he wants to do in our lives. And so it's something that's very, very real. It can be very, very frightening. I think of our Aboriginal people all across the world. God has gifted you with an ability to distinguish between that spiritual realm. There's a gift that God has given to our Aboriginal people. Right across the world, you can see it. They're extremely sensitive. They can tell you so quick whether or not there's a spiritual identity or a spiritual force that is at work. They are fantastic. It is a gift from God. And I believe it was a gift that God gave since the creation of the world that he would draw all people unto himself, to help them to realize, yes, there's a force that is evil and there's a force that is good, and that would draw them because they identify, they understand it, they can see it better than anybody else. I'm very thankful for the people we have here in this church, and I often think when we pray in homes, to me, one of the best people to come with me is someone that has an Aboriginal background, because they can pick up stuff so quick. And so it's a gift. It's a gift from God. But we need to realize that there are forces of darkness. There are realms that do come against us. That was really made real to me a couple years back, and God gave me this vision of things that were taking place. And he took me right from what would be in the natural and just kept taking me deeper and deeper and further to that place until I was finally in hell. And then in hell, and that's kind of a long description as well, I won't go into all of that, but at the very end of that vision, he brought me to this place of round tables. And I was standing on those tables, and I saw some demons, and I figured, well, I don't want to be here. And so I kind of jumped off into another place. But when I landed in another room, and this time it was a room filled with all these round tables, and there's all these demons around all these tables. And I realized, man, I am sitting in the midst of all these demons. And one of them spoke out to me, how did you get here? And as he spoke those words, he was really ticked off that it was there. And then as they reached to grab me, they were so big, they were the same height as I was, and I'm standing on the table. And then instantly, a hand from heaven pulls me up, and I'm very awake now in the middle of the night. But it just showed me that there's strategies. You know, hell is active. This is not some place you go to burn. It's a very active place. And there's strategies that are going on there against you and against the church and against the gospel. They're constantly at work, strategizing. And if you don't believe me, read what the Bible says. Ephesians 6:10-12. It says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We still can be strong in this. He said, put on all of God's armor so you'll be able to stand firm against what? All the strategies of the devil. Because you're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in heavenly places. Friends, we need to realize there's a very real realm out there that comes against us. There is witchcraft. Yes, there is. There are curses being spoken against you. There's all kinds of work spiritually that is being done against you because the enemy desires to destroy you. There's strategies going on in hell against you. Yes, you. It really is. Yet, the Bible says, nothing shall ever separate me from God's love. Even if all of hell comes against me, even if all the strategies of the enemy are coming against me, he says, nothing is going to separate you from my love because he has you. Even when we face things as terrible as that. And he says in the Bible says, we can stand our ground. We can resist the devil. And the Bible says, as you resist him, he will flee. And to know that he is with us, we are loved by him. And all the powers of hell are not going to stop us. We need to remember that. And that the gates of hell will not prevail. Jesus told us that. Yes, you are going to face those struggles. Yes, there's going to be assignments from the very pit of hell against you. But God says the gates of hell are not going to prevail. I think of Cynthia. She shared a few weeks back where God was just kind of speaking to her about John 10:10. She kept getting that over, John 10:10, John 10:10. And that part of the verse where rob, kill, and destroy. And she was saying, you know, that's what we've been going through. But now's the time of abundance. Now's the time of that change. Now is the time where God's going to pour out that rich and satisfying life. And that's something we need to realize, that even though the enemy comes against us to destroy us, God said, I'm going to turn that around. And I'm going to bring you into rich and satisfying life and a life of abundance. That's what he's going to do. So there's victory even over that demonic realm. And you can stand in God's love knowing that he will not leave you. And he can bring the deliverance that is needed. Why? He loves you. You are loved by God. And even though the forces of darkness can come against you, he's got you. He's got you. He loves you. He loves you. And then lastly, from this text in Romans, we can stand in God's love even when the fears of life come our way. And sometimes fear can affect us far more, really, than anything else. And it's a great tool of the enemy. And sometimes this is more, the enemy is more successful in using fear than even a lot of his strategies that he tries to come against us. He'll bring fear in your lives. And we all know that when fear happens, man, does that ever mess with our minds, right? It really does. Romans 8:38 again. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels, demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. And again, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. It's kind of interesting that it kind of sticks that right in the middle as it talks about the strategies of the enemy of our souls that is against us. But right in the middle of that is about fear. That's one of the greatest strategies of the enemy, is to have fear. Fear will cripple us. It really does. And sometimes things happen that really do concern us. Sometimes it's just normal life. Other times it can be things of troubles, things that we go through in our lives that almost get us to the place where we start to fall apart and we start to doubt whether or not God can actually come through for us. And I realized over these last number of years that Alberta has been experiencing quite a downturn in the economy, and even our nation right now is experiencing a downturn in its economy. And there's a lot of people that have lost jobs. There's a lot of people that lost their houses. A lot of people that have lost their toys and their cars, their homes. A lot of people have lost marriages. You may not realize that, but in our area, our whole Lakeland area has been hit very, very hard. Even the churches have been hit hard enough where there are some churches now that can't even afford their pastor, let alone staff. They don't even have a pastor right now. And a lot of people out there in our world today wonder, are we going to make it? Because they're really at the bottom. I want to tell you something. God hasn't forsaken you. He hasn't canceled his plan because he knows we're going to come through. Sometimes we start believing all those lies and those fears, you know, it kind of multiplies the lies. That's what fear does. It multiplies your lies. And it gets us to start believing that we're not going to make it, that we're done, it's over for us. And God's saying, hold it. Nothing is going to separate you from my love. Nothing is going to stop me from loving you. Nothing is going to stop me from your destiny going forward in your life. I like the story of the Bible that talks about Joshua. You can find that in the Old Testament. And it's a story where Moses was leading the people of Israel out of Egypt, and then they're going into the promised land. And we see that there's a rebellion that takes place, and so they don't enter the promised land. And they wander in the wilderness for another 40 years, and then a new leader is chosen by the name of Joshua, and Joshua is to lead the people into the promised land. Now, Joshua was part of the initial 12 spies that went into the land, and he came back to say, people, we can do this. But the other spies said we couldn't, and the people listened. Rather believe a lie than believe the truth. And that's still very prevalent today. We rather believe lies than believe the truth. And so here is Joshua 40 years later. He's appointed as a new leader, and he's to bring the people of Israel into the promised land. He's a bit scared. He remembers what happened the last time. And he's a little bit worried as he's coming into the promised land. Well, Lord, I'm supposed to lead these people. But listen what happens to him. Because God loves him. God spoke to him. Gave him a word in season. And you find it in Joshua 1, verses 6, right through to 9. We're just going to read verse 6 and 9. It says, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who's going to lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. This is my command, verse 9, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua was able to stand that day. He was able to lead Israel into the promised land because God, in his love, spoke a word to him in season that enabled him to succeed. And maybe you're here today fearing something maybe that's very big in your life. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a disease. Maybe it's that terrible cancer where we've been praying for a lot of people with cancer of late. Maybe you're here today and you need a miracle, nothing short of a miracle. Maybe your very life is dependent upon it. I want to tell you, those kinds of things can really bring a torment into your life, sleepless nights. But you need to know God sees you. He wants to pour out his love over you today, touching you, strengthening you, helping you to stand. And I really believe that God's going to give you a word in season that's going to help you to stand, even during this terrible time of fear. It's going to help you. And I just sense in my spirit as well, just to go back to that statement of T.D. Jakes, that if people want to leave you, let them go. Your destiny is not tied to them anymore. They're the ones that are going to miss out because you're going on to the destiny that God has for you. So don't worry about the past. God's got something very great for you. And that was a word, remember, Christopher kind of spoke a couple weeks after Cynthia received that. And he was just feeling, hey, you know, God's saying, we don't need to loathe over what we lost because what God's going to bring is going to be far greater than anything that we've lost. That's who he is. That's who he is. God loves you. He cares about the situation that you're in today. And he wants to strengthen you. He wants to help you. And I believe he wants to give you a word from heaven. A word in season. Maybe that has already happened. Maybe I'm part of that message for you, to get part of that word in the season for you today, to know that God still loves you. He's going to see you through. He's going to help you to stand through this time. You're not alone. You're not alone. The Lord is still close beside you. He hasn't left you, but He's there to strengthen you, and He loves you. So as we conclude, our musicians come back to close this service. If you remember anything, would you just remember God loves you? He just wants you to know that afresh and anew today. He loves you. That whatever you're going through, whether it's something small or whether it's something very big that has devastated your life, in your opinion, God wants to say, it's not over yet. I love you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to see you through. I'm going to bring you into that destiny that I have for you. It's not over. It hasn't been wiped away. I still have something very special and important for you. Why? Because you're chosen of God. You can't break that. You're chosen by God. He loves you. He cares about you. You're important to Him. And He's going to see you through. Even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Bible says, I will fear no evil, because you are right beside me. I close with Romans 8:39. It says, no power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing's going to stop you. It's not going to stop you. Your destiny is not over. There's a destiny that still awaits you, that is very good, that is very real, that is very prosperous, that is very wonderful. And it's because He loves you. Yes, you may be going through some difficulties. Yes, you may be going through some struggles. Life does that. Even as we fight against the powers of darkness, they will come against you. Yes, they will. But God says, I love you. You're going to make it. You're going to come through. This is not going to stop your destiny. You're going to walk right into your destiny. And if people leave you, let them go. They're just not going to be a part of your story anymore. But you're still going to have a story. There's still a destiny that is over your life that's God going to see to come to completion. Father, I thank you that you love us. I know, Lord, at times we don't deserve your love. Sometimes, Lord, we do things we should not do. And God, we're all guilty of sin. We've all sinned. We've all come short of your glory. But I thank you that you don't give up on us, because you still love us. Lord, we can mess up our lives. We can make a disaster of our lives. Yet you just come right back to us and say, I still love you. I still have my arms open up to you today. Maybe you're here in this place and maybe you've been running from God. God's been speaking to you and God has been drawing you. You've been seeing some signs. Maybe it wasn't a number, 316, but maybe it was a dream. Maybe it was a vision. Maybe you saw something. Maybe something happened where you knew, I think that's God. I think that's God. And friends, I want to welcome you as we conclude this service. If you would like prayer, or if you'd like us to help you with leading you to Christ, then we'd be more than happy to do that. Doesn't mean you belong to the church or that you have to make these big, huge commitments. It just simply open up your heart to God. I'm going to ask my prayer team if they would just come up here as well, just to be ready that if you do, there will be people here that will pray for you. We'd be very happy to do that for you. Or maybe you're going through a difficulty right now. Maybe people don't even know about it. Maybe a few select people, but most people have no idea. And it's been a stress to you. It's been a thing where to you it's brought fear and torment, sleepless nights. And again, I just feel God is saying, listen, your destiny is still there. Your destiny is still there. It's not, what's happening right now is not going to stop it. He's going to bring it through because He loves you. He has chosen you. You are special to Him. You are loved by God. And He's going to see you through. He's going to see you through. I hope that bears witness with you today, because I really believe that's God's message to you. He wants you to know, just afresh and new, I love you. I love you. I'm going to see you through. I'm going to see you through. No matter what comes your way, even if the gates of hell come against you, they will not prevail, says the Lord. You're going to come through. Praise his name. Let us stand together as we close with this song. And if you want prayer, please feel free to come up. We'd be happy to pray with you. And then after we sing this song, you'll be dismissed and able to enjoy some of the activities that are going on today. I think next door there's some horses and some skiing. Ski behind a horse. See how quickly you fall or catch something, whatever. But anyway, if you want to have some fun, that's happening. Then in a few more minutes. So.